Welcome again to another segment of the program, In the Beginning. Today we're going to look at the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation from a particular angle. And that is, I want you to see a particular point that has a lot to do when we study the subject of the end times. You know, in the end times, of course, today we're in the what they call the church age. But there's another age coming when Jesus Christ himself is coming to set up his kingdom on the earth. And we want to study and talk about that subject. But before we can get into that subject, we want to do a little bit of an overview. And the subject that we want to look at today is, you may be surprised a little bit, is the earth. Earth, E-A-R-T-H. Now, why would we be looking at the earth? You know, today a lot of Christians say, well, someday because I become a Christian, I'm going to heaven. And I don't have to worry about this earth. And I don't have to worry about all the problems on the earth and ecology and all the situations, the financial situations and the wars and the political uprisings and all these kinds of things that are going on. But listen, if you study the Bible and read the Bible through from Genesis to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, you'll find out that God wants this earth. And God wants to do something on this earth. So today we're going to go through several verses in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation concerning the subject of the earth. Now, we're covering the subject of the earth in the Bible. And the very first verse in the entire Bible, in the book of Genesis, says, God created the heavens and the earth. Actually, it starts out with the phrase, in the beginning, which is the name of this program. So, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I don't believe God just created the earth just as kind of an accident or kind of an experience or experiment or kind of a temporary place. But listen, God had a purpose in creating the earth. Then you jump to the end of the Bible, the book of Revelation. And there, in the end of the Bible, we find out that Christ, Jesus Christ himself, comes to possess the earth when you study Revelations chapters 10 and 11. So we need to look very carefully at this subject, the earth, in the Bible. The first verse of the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And when you read that verse, you don't get the impression that there was any kind of a problem. You get the impression like, well, God created the heavens and the earth, and then everything was just fine. Then you read the second verse in Genesis, Genesis 1, verse 2. And it says, the earth became waste and empty. And to a casual reader, you think, well, you know, that was just kind of the condition of the earth when God first created it. There was nothing there, and it needed life. And so then in the rest of the first chapter of Genesis there, you have the creation of the plant life and the animal life and then human life and so on. But listen, you have to study the Bible very carefully. I would say it this way. If God created the heavens and the earth, when God created it, there wouldn't be any kind of problem there. Why would it be waste? Waste indicated almost like it's good to be thrown away in the waste can. But God didn't create it that way. And void means empty of life. But yet, when God does something, whatever God does expresses himself and expresses his nature. And listen, God is full of life. And then in the second verse it says, and darkness was on the face of the deep, indicating there was no light on the surface of the earth. Now, that doesn't sound like God, because God is light. God is love, God is light, and God is truth. Why would there be darkness on the face of the earth? Well, you might think, well, it's just kind of the way it happened, or something like that. Well, listen, if you bring in another verse from the Bible in the book of Isaiah, there it says that God did not create the earth waste and empty. And back in Genesis there, in verse 2, there's that phrase, waste and empty. The earth became waste and empty. But yet in Isaiah, the same Hebrew words are used describing, saying, the Lord or God did not create the earth waste and empty. Now, let's put this scenario together. Either you can look at these verses from the standpoint that there's just kind of a contradiction in the Bible. You know, the Bible just isn't consistent. Isaiah and Moses, of course, wrote Genesis, and Isaiah wrote the book of Isaiah there. They just weren't consistent. You could say that. But listen, I believe that the Word of God has depth of truth in it that sometimes doesn't appear just by casual study. Now, we're discussing three verses in the Bible. Number one, the first verse in the book of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Secondly, the second verse in Genesis, and the earth became waste and empty, and darkness came upon the face of the deep. And thirdly, we're looking at a verse in Isaiah, and that verse says that the Lord did not originally create the earth waste and empty. And we're putting these three verses together and we're saying, well, what happened? Suppose God created the earth and everything was fine, and then something came in to damage the earth, some kind of a natural thing or a supernatural thing, I don't know what, and then the earth became waste, empty, and darkness was on the face of the deep. You know, the Bible is silent about a lot of things. For instance, if you want to know how to repair your automobile, or if you want to know how to finance a business, or if you want to know how to interconnect two computer systems, you're not going to find any kind of information in those areas by studying the Bible. The Bible doesn't cover those areas. If you want to study archaeology, you'll find some archaeological facts in the Bible, but not that many. If you want to study history, you'll find some history in the Bible. But listen, not all of man's history is contained in the Bible. So we have to ask the question, what is the Bible for? Well, the Bible is a book of life. And the Bible should lead you and I to have an intimate relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. So when we study the Bible, listen, things about computer systems were not put in the Bible. Things about the laws of nature, like electricity. Surely electricity existed back in the days of Moses, back in the days of David. Even at the time of Jesus, electricity existed. Now, man hadn't discovered how to use it yet. But the laws of nature were in effect. But yet, contained in the Bible, you don't find anything about electrical engineering, or hydraulics, or computer systems. Any of those kind of things, it seems like the Bible is just silent. Now, that doesn't mean that the Bible is against, what, a computer system? Or the Bible is against using an automobile? No, the Bible's not against. The Bible's just silent. Okay, but listen, what about the ages of the earth? For instance, between Genesis 1:1, when God created the earth and everything was fine, and then Genesis 1:2, where the earth was fine and there was nothing waste, it was not empty, all of a sudden something happened and it became waste and empty. Ask the question, or let me ask the question, how much time was there between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2? Or even ask this question, how long did it take God to create the heavens and the earth? Now we're looking at the first two verses in the book of Genesis, Genesis 1:1, Genesis 1:2. And the first verse says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And then we looked at that verse in Isaiah, and it says that God did not create the earth waste and empty. So at the beginning, everything was just, I would use the word, perfect. Then Genesis 1:2, something happened, because it says the earth became waste, empty, and darkness was on the face of the deep. Now, we're asking the question, how much time existed between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2? How much time? Well, if you search the Bible carefully, I think you'll discover that the Bible is silent on that issue. In other words, if you think it was 2 seconds, or you think it was 200 years, or 200,000 years, or 5 billion years, the Bible doesn't say. Now, if I were you, I would study some geology. And I'm not a student of geology, but I've watched some things and read some things on geology. And I would say there was probably a big gap of time in there. Now, again, the Bible doesn't say there wasn't a big gap, and the Bible doesn't say there is a big gap. The Bible is simply silent. So we're looking at all the laws of nature and we're saying, well, you know, this watch is complicated, a computer system is complicated, plant life is complicated, animal life is complicated, but to me, the most complex being or thing on this planet Earth is man. Man has a physical part, a body. Man has a psychological part, a soul with a mind, emotion, and will. And man has a human spirit that craves after God. That's why when you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, number one, you receive Him as your Savior. Number two, you're born again, and you have a new life in you, and Jesus Christ comes to live within you. There is a satisfaction within your spirit that cannot be matched by anything else. Just like your stomach, when it's hungry, you eat something, you get satisfied. Listen, when you receive God through His Son, Jesus Christ, you get satisfied because your spirit is craving after God. So we've been talking about how God created the heavens and the earth, and how it's just difficult, at least for me, to understand how this planet Earth, with plant life, with animal life, with human life, and by the way, have you ever seen an animal or heard about an animal or read in a magazine about animals, an animal craving after God or trying to worship a God or set up a God? You don't. Because animals don't have a human spirit. They don't have that part of them that craves after God. And that's why your spirit could never be satisfied until you have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, we've been talking about a lot of things today, the laws of nature and who designed the laws of nature and who put the laws of nature into effect and the fact about the earth. And we talked about the first two verses in the book of Genesis and it's seeming like a little gap there between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2 and how the Bible is silent even as to how much time existed between the time God created the heavens and the earth until the time of Genesis, really Genesis chapter 1, which is where there's, you know, I don't know if you've read the story there about the 6 days of what people call the 6 days of creation there. Some people say that was the original creation, and if you've been listening to me, you begin to question, well, what was those 6 days? There was God, it says God restored the light and the planets, and then there was plant life and animal life, and finally God created man and so on. I believe that was a restoration. I believe something happened to the earth. Now, what happened? The Bible doesn't say. I would even study a little bit of geology and archaeology to find out. For instance, have you ever asked the question, where are the dinosaurs in the Bible? You know, if there were really dinosaurs on this planet, and obviously you can't say, well, there weren't dinosaurs. That's just somebody, you know, made that up. Well, you've got to say, well, what are these bones, these huge animal bones that people have found? When did the dinosaurs exist? And when you go through the Bible kind of backwards from today, Adam and Eve, which was the first man as we know it today, I say it that way, that you find created in Genesis chapter 1, it goes back about 6,000 years. But yet when they date the dinosaurs, they go back much earlier than that. So where do the dinosaurs fit in? Well, listen, the Bible is silent. Now, I know some people have got their excuses. They say, well, in the book of Job, you've got these big animals and all this kind of stuff that Job saw, and those were probably the dinosaurs. And well, I go, well, maybe, but I'm not so sure about that. You see, the Bible is not a science book. You want to study science, you want to study geology, you want to study the ages of the earth. To study the Bible is the wrong book. The Bible is a book of life, should lead us to have a relationship with God. But I know in the Bible there's some science and there's some history and things like that. But listen, the main point is this. The Bible is silent on the geological ages that I believe existed between the first verse and the second verse in the book of Genesis. Now, the first verse in the whole Bible, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And listen, some people don't like the earth. I don't understand why some Christians think, well, you know, I've become a Christian now, and when I die, I'm going to heaven. Forget about the earth. Listen, what I want to do in kind of a quick way is go through the entire Bible and show you how much God cares about this earth. Okay, the first verse in the Bible, Genesis 1:1, chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Why didn't it just say God created everything? It doesn't say that. Or God created the universe. And included in the universe, of course, would be the earth with Mars and Venus and Jupiter and the sun and, you know, everything that's there. No, God said the heavens and the earth. And I believe there was an emphasis on the word earth. Okay, not only do we have the first verse in the book of Genesis, but listen, when God created man, when God created man in the first chapter of Genesis, he says, let us create man in our image. That means so that man would express God. Then it says, listen, this is very important. And God wanted man to have dominion over what? Over the fish of the sea, the cattle on the earth, the birds of the sky, and then it says, over the whole earth. In other words, God created man, human beings, to have dominion, to rule and reign, to manage for God what? To manage the sky? To manage Mars? No. Listen, to manage this earth right here. So God's intention for man, when God created man, is that man would rule and reign and manage and have dominion over this earth. Now we're talking about how much God cares about this earth. Listen, the time of David's time, which was about 1,000 years before the time of Christ, David wrote two psalms, Psalm 8 and Psalm 24. And I just want to quote you the first verses there. In Psalm 8 it says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all of the earth. It's interesting. He didn't just say, how excellent is your name in the heavens. Listen, David said, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Now, if you look into the details of David's life, you find out that David had lots of problems. But yet he doesn't talk about the problems. And David's not saying, well, someday I'm going to go to heaven when I die and all the problems are over. No, he didn't say that. He said, Lord, your name, the name of God, is excellent in this earth. In other words, he realized that it was God's intention, what? For God's name and for the excellencies of God to be brought from the heavens to the earth. Then there's another psalm, Psalm 24. And that psalm says, the earth is the Lord's. Now, some people say, well, forget about the earth. You know, we're going to heaven and we don't care about the earth anymore. But listen, Psalm 24 says, the earth belongs to the Lord. I don't think God wants the earth to be discarded. So what? The Lord's name is excellent in all the earth. And secondly, the earth and all that it is, what? Belongs to God. Now, about 2,000 years ago, the Son of God, Jesus Christ himself, came to this earth in the form of a baby. He was born of the Virgin Mary. And he came, as a man. He didn't come as a big king to take over the earth. And he didn't come in a way despising the earth. Listen, God came to this earth. God cares about this earth. Jesus Christ was fully God and fully man. And he lived about 33 years on this earth. And can you imagine that? God living as a man on this earth? Not only that, the first 30 years, if you can believe it, were very silent. There's not very much recorded in the Bible about those first 30 years. And you think, what was God doing? What was the Son of God, fully God, fully man, what was he doing for 30 years? But listen, 30 years of somewhat private life. Then a three-year ministry and a lot of teachings and so on. One of the things he taught about was prayer. Remember the disciples asked him, well, Jesus, how do we pray? And then Jesus said, well, when you pray, pray like this. And part of that prayer was this, thy will be done. In other words, the Father's will, thy will be done on the earth as it is in the heavens. Not thy will be done in the heavens. No, thy will be done on the earth. That prayer was very practical. You see, God wants his kingdom, his ruling, his reigning to be brought into our life, our home life, our marriage life, our family life, our work life, our finances, the way we treat people, the way we handle people. All those things should come under what? The kingdom of God. So Jesus prayed, thy will be done, that is God's will be done, on the earth, right here on this earth, as it is in the heavens. So Jesus Christ came and he lived on this earth for about 33 years. Then listen, he died on the cross. And when he died on the cross, he died for your sins and my sins. Not only for the sins, but listen, that we commit, the things we do against God. But listen, he died to deal with the sin nature. That is that nature within us that causes us to sin. He also dealt with the devil. He also dealt with the old creation, the old man, and every negative thing in this universe was dealt with at the cross at Calvary about 2,000 years ago. Then he died, he was buried, and he rose from the dead 3 days later. No, it wasn't 3 years, it was 3 days. 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead. Then he was ascended, and he became Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And listen, today he is the Spirit. It says in Corinthians, the last Adam, that is Christ, became the life-giving Spirit. Why? So he could get into your spirit and my spirit and be our life. Now, listen, here's the key point, though. We're talking about the earth, remember? Before Jesus ascended, he was talking to his disciples, and he says, you're going to be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem, which is right where they were, and in Samaria, which were the despised Jews, and listen what he says, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. He didn't say, well, do what you can in Jerusalem, and then when you die, you're going to go to heaven. No, he didn't say that. He said, no, you need to spread this gospel, this good news about Jesus Christ. It needs to be spread to the whole earth. Why? God cares about the earth. Now we go all the way to the end of the Bible, the book of Revelation, and guess what happens? In a sense, you could say God gives up the heavens and comes to the earth again. You see, 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came as a baby. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He died on the cross, he rose from the dead, and he ascended back to the heavens. But listen, at the end of the church age, Jesus Christ himself is coming a second time to live on this earth, but not for 33 years. Listen, he's going to be here for at least 1,000 years, a millennium. It's a long time. You read the prophecies in the book of Daniel, you read the prophecies in the book of Zechariah in the Old Testament, plus putting together details from the book of Revelation, and you find out that at the end of this age, Jesus Christ himself is coming to live on this planet. Not on Mars, not on Venus, not stay up in the heavenlies and wish, you know, that we'll do okay on this planet and stuff like that. Listen, he's coming to live on the earth. Why? God wants to possess this earth. And that's why God created you and me. Why? We were created in his image. We were created to have dominion over what? The earth. So at the end of the Bible then, not only does Jesus Christ come, and there's 1,000 years there, but listen, at the end of that 1,000 years, what do we have? We have the holy city, the New Jerusalem, which is a city which is comprised of all of God's people from the Old Testament and the New Testament, a city that comes down, listen, you'll be surprised at this, from heaven to what? To the earth. Why? God is tired of living up in the heavens by himself. He wants company. Guess what? He's coming to the earth. And then if you look at the prophecies in the Old Testament and the New Testament, you find out that at the same time exists this city called the New Jerusalem, the earth still exists. It's a new earth. It's been renewed. But listen, there's nations on the earth, and there's people on the earth. And these people are learning how to worship God, even through the Jews at that time. So listen, God will never give up the earth. That's why you and I need to have a relationship with God. Don't believe in all the problems. Don't look at all the political situations and the wars and so on. Listen, eventually all that stuff is going to get wrapped up. Eventually all the negative things will be dealt with. And eventually God Himself, through Jesus Christ, is coming to this earth, listen, to rule and to reign over this earth. So you and I need to be ready. How do we get ready? By receiving Jesus as our personal Savior. So we're looking at all the laws of nature and we're saying, well, you know, this watch is complicated, a computer system is complicated, plant life is complicated, animal life is complicated, but to me the most complex being or thing on this planet Earth is man. Man has a physical part, a body. Man has a psychological part, a soul with a mind, emotion, and will. And man has a human spirit that craves after God. That's why when you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, number one, you receive Him as your Savior. Number two, you're born again, and you have a new life in you, and Jesus Christ comes to live within you. There is a satisfaction within your spirit that cannot be matched by anything else. Just like your stomach, when it's hungry, you eat something, you get satisfied. Listen, when you receive God through His Son, Jesus Christ, you get satisfied because your spirit is craving after God. Listen, I want to encourage you to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. God created you with a specific purpose. He gave you a body, a soul, and a spirit that craves after God. In Timothy it says, "The Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." There's no way for you to fulfill God's purpose and me to fulfill God's purpose, which is what? To live on this earth and to reign and have dominion on this earth without His Son, Jesus Christ, living in us. I'd like to encourage you to write to me and request a free outline, which is available about the items that we've talked about today. You can write to me at Drew Haniger, Post Office Box 12124, Scottsdale, Arizona 85267.